love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and tonight, a little segment I decided to call Future Talent Kiss Ass. This is where we put guys on that we think wouldn't do this show had they not promised to come back and do this show when we had them on the first time. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. So you're putting a bet down.
I'm putting a bet down.
It's not
on a long shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bet's got to come in.
Yeah.
As the thing accrues.
Yeah. Now tonight we're talking about boxing, something that I really enjoy. And Bolo is our guest, Damian Bolo Wills. He's heavyweight, 9-0. 9 knockouts, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Oof. Every fight, a knockout, Drew. That's 9 for 9. And he's fighting this Friday at the Henry Fonda Theater, and I've been to all these. I've seen his fights, and they're fun, but they're fast. I mean, you don't want to blink your eyes. He's got good pop. He's a big guy, as you can see. Good hand speed. You don't see that too often.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but say hi, Bolo.
How's it going, everybody out there?
Bolo is, his trainer is my trainer.
Uh-huh.
Although his trainer, trains him like he's going to do something, and me just talks to me about Bolo the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it's the only thing where, like if you went in, if you went in and talked to a therapist, you paid him $100 an hour, and he talked your ear off, you'd be pissed.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I didn't get a word in edgewise. If you went into a masseuse and you were massaging the masseuse the whole time and paying him $100 an hour, you'd be pissed. But when a trainer does it, it's cool because you feel like you're going to vomit and collapse. So when they start talking,
you can get a break.
Yeah, so you're like, how's Bolo doing? Hey, champ, he's looking good. He's looking good. He's a big man with fast hands. He's just been sparring them Klitschko's. I'm like, how tall is he again? He's 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds, all muscle. When's his next fight? Glad you asked.
So you're sparring with this guy?
Yes.
Yeah,
we're pointing. Drew never gets tired of doing bad.
Right? I'll go back and explain
it. He's pointing at a cardboard cutout of Vitaly. No, Vlad. No, let's see. Which Klitschko is that?
That's Vitaly. I think that's
Vitaly.
Life size, too.
Yeah, Vitaly Klitschko, who he was sparring with. He's also been sparring with Layman Brewster, who was in here, who's a WBO champ up in Tahoe or Arrowhead or wherever the hell. Big Bear. You got to go up there for altitude training, Drew.
We got it.
You got to get that. It's the thin air. Makes right. Your lungs tough.
That's what De La Hoya does.
Yeah. What I do to toughen up my lungs is I smoke. I don't need any altitude training. Just toughen them up. Bust a filter right off that cigarette and just smoke them Camels two at a time. Toughen that lung
up. Inhales a little paint.
Yeah, I'll huff some copier toner or something. Got to toughen them. It's really the equivalent to you doing a sit-up and a guy hitting you with a medicine ball in the stomach. You're huffing that copier toner while you're smoking a cigarette.
Sure.
Toughen them lungs up. So, Bolo. Yeah, 9-0. So up-and-coming heavyweight, basically, is why we're having him on the show. And I think Bolo could be the next heavyweight champ of the world.
Wow.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of confidence in you. Yeah.
You're the toughest actor I've seen around.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you have to say about the Ace Man?
Because a lot of people don't know. He's a softball, and he's really fast. And if you've seen him and you didn't know he was Adam Carolla, you would think he was a fighter in the gym, actually. I've seen him spar with Layman Brewster before.
God bless you. God bless you.
He did good. He did good.
It's funny when you see him on television, you think he couldn't be an actor. He must be a fighter.
No.
Yeah, oh, how dare you, Drew.
He could beat down all the rest of the actors.
That's what I love about Bolo. He's keeping it real. Yeah. So Bolo's got a fight. Now, I'm going this Friday, and I've talked about this on the air before, which is Los Angeles is kind of missing a scene. You know what I mean? I mean, we're all about Nobu and these hoity-toity restaurants, lots of homos hanging out, drinking apple martinis. But we don't have a steak joint and a fight night.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
We don't.
We were
right.
talking about this last night. We don't have a Little Italy in this town.
Right.
I feel like if we got a Little Italy, everything would get clear. cleared up almost immediately. We'd start having Friday night fights and clubs. And it's one thing to go. Everyone wants to go to these super fights in Vegas and sit 70 rows back and look at the Jumbotron. But I'm telling you, going to a club-type fight, and this is at the Henry Fonda Theater. It's this Friday. And sitting up there, and it's you don't know anybody's on the stage except for Bolo. Everyone else is just a bunch of guys that are hanging drywall during the day or slinging hash, beating the crap out of each other for $60. But it's better that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are drunk, and people are screaming, and there's chicks with huge asses holding up ring signs and shaking their ass. One of the round girls was so drunk she fell over.
Yeah.
Last time. Yeah.
Two times.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
She, you know, here's the problem. They wear those huge stripper wedgies,
yeah.
And the ring has got a little foam rubber under the canvas, and a couple of shots of Grand Marnier, the stripper wedgie, and the canvas on the ring, all, it's a deadly combination.
She wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, plus you're holding your hands over your head, and you're a little tipsy. Boom. She went down like Bolo hit her. Yeah. So even, it's such a good fight night that even the ring girls are going down. Everybody's falling down in that ring.
Everybody's getting knocked out.
Yeah, so you plan on an early knockout, or you want to stretch it out, get some work in?
Every time I go in the ring, I never plan on having a knockout. I just go in there and try to work with my trainer, Terry Claiborne, teaches me. And
mm-hmm.
I think that if I just, you know, apply that, then they have to go anyway, so.
You know what I'd like you to do with Terry next time he's working
punch
a little
hard.
Too hard? No, I'd like you to go.
Okay.
How's that, Jim? I tell you what, Jim, he sucks, but he pays on time.
He talks about you all the time.
What it really is, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want you to know. I want you to bug him about me and see if you can catch a little wind, because if you can get a guy talking, he'll start talking for a minute, and you should try that in the ring on Friday. If you get tired Friday night in the ring, just say to the guy, like, hey, what's going on with Terry Clay? See if we can get him talking about something.
They all want to knock me out.
Well, yeah, they want to, but they can't do it. That's the thing.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, and let me tell you the thing about Bolo, too. It's not that sort of pumped-up steroid big. It's just big.
Solid.
And that, you know, the thing about boxers is you want that sort of natural. You want the guy at his natural weight, not an inflated weight.
Right,
there's a fluidity to it. You know, there's a hand speed that guys with who've been working out at the gym too long to try to get that size don't have.
Right.
It's a certain fluidity. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but
they lift weights. They can't even tie their shoestrings, you know.
Yeah, it's the same way. There's certain sports, like tennis and stuff. It doesn't seem to work.
Right, the skill sports.
Yeah, the skill sports. Yeah. And boxing is, it's the sweet science. It's brutal, and people get caught up with that. But, man, it's all about rhythm and repetition and hand speed and all that good stuff.
You'll see all that on, Friday night, Fight Night, Hollywood Fight Night.
Yeah. Well, you'll see it when Bolo's in the ring. You're not going to see it when the drywaller's
see it
in.
Some of the other guys, you know.
Listen, it's better. It's better, Drew, because you're screaming. And you know what's funny, too? No respect. People take a wild swing and miss a guy, people are laughing. And people are screaming. And there's some celebrities there, too, Drew.
Yeah, like
really?
You. Oh, yeah, every time.
No, I wasn't going to count me. But
every time you go.
I missed one, I think. I was out of town.
Yeah, it was out of town.
It's a good night. It's the Henry Fonda Theater. It's right in the middle of Hollywood.
Is that one every Friday?
No, he's doing it every other month or something like that.
That's the site.
Yeah, that's the site. That's the site now. Like booze is flowing, lots of hot chicks. Fights, and by the way, guys dress up like it's some kind of player's ball, too, when they go to the white guys wearing bowler caps with striped suits and silk vests. It's crazy.
That's the atmosphere of fights, though.
Yeah.
Everybody dresses their best. The women come out looking as good as they possibly can, and
celebrities come out. People get drunk and start pushing each other and stuff because they get hyped up.
I think celebrities like down dressed actually.
Yeah, because they don't want to be spotted. That's right. Denzel Washington was there in just his underpants. He didn't want to be seen. No, you know, but they don't dress all flashy.
Right, right.
It's the guy
like
me, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me just to give the information out if you're going to be in the L.A. area, and then we'll move on with the show, and I'll give it a little plug later on. You just go to, I'll tell you what you can do. You can go to www.ticketweb.com and get any information you need about it. www.ticketweb.com. Have some fun, see some fights, and don't bother me. I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be up front with the Wayans brothers, schmoozing.
And what Adam says, if you come up to me, he says, beat it.
No. It's not. You come up. I had a girl come up.
He might want to fight you there.
16-year-old girl come up to me at the Best Buy and say, what'd she say to me, Drew?
Oh, she said, are you as big an ass person? Is he all right, TV?
And I just said,
he didn't even look up. He said, beat it.
And she ran, crying to Drew.
And she went, also, you are. And I said, beat it.
Come on, Bolo. You know me. I'm a nice guy,
yeah,
right?
You're the greatest guy, man.
Yeah.
I've known you for a while. He's always funny in the gym,
don't
man.
Don't pump him up.
Yeah.
Funny. He's distracting. He's Katrina from the work.
No. You know what the biggest thing is? His boxing is just like, you know, it surprised me. A lot of people I don't sit down and watch. There's very few actors that I'll sit down and watch train. Like Denzel, I'll watch him train. But Adam, you know, I'll sit down and watch him train. Actually, I'll sit down and watch him train.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making those pads in there talk, you know.
Yeah. Ouch, they're screaming.
Softball.
How's Bolo's knee doing? That's okay. What's his weight like? 265. I told him it's 6'5", Mr. Pinkett. Natural orthodox or southpaw? Do you convert him? Shroud of Term, is that written on parchment papers? Yeah, that's what I do. I make small talk, Drew. I'm going in tomorrow, so I come up the list of small talk before we get in there. It'd be nice.
You use your gift of gab.
Sydney?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's up, baby doll?
Okay. I've been dating my boyfriend for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a constant problem. And I finally got through to you guys and kind of want to get your opinion. He's the only guy I've ever been with, so I don't really know myself.
What is the constant problem?
Okay, he has a curvature in his penis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it. I'm going to say it's about a 20 to 30 degree curve.
And where in the middle, the tip?
Just the entire tip. Thing.
You know, sometimes you can get a hockey stick.
Oh, really?
That's actually what you get from complications of circumcision.
Oh, really?
It pulls right over that side.
Wow.
Like
Oh, that's bad times.
Yeah, this is more...
Unless you're Canadian, then it's kind of cool to have a hockey stick in your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they asked for it.
Ladies,
parents,
look at this.
The parents signed up for that.
Yeah. Put the tape on the end of it, tape up the end, just like the hockey stick. All right, so where's it curve in the middle?
It's just like the whole thing. I think he went to his doctor and one side grew faster than the other side is what it seems like.
Well, no, it's that one side gets a scar and it pulls over to that side.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not going down, though. It's going to the right or left, right?
It's going to his right. And it also, another thing about it, it kind of twists at the same time.
Oh, man. It's like the ultimate roller coaster. So if he goes down too fast, you'll spin around and slide to the left.
So the problem is...
Oh, he's got to kill himself.
No, come on.
That's the only advice, Drew. Advice ever just kill yourself?
Remember, Dr. Alter can repair these kinds of things. How's the size of it?
He's got anything to work with.
Well, has he got anything to spare is really the question.
Wait, what do you mean?
To operatively prepare these kinds of things, basically they pull back the long side. They make the whole thing the length of the short side, see?
He's big enough that they could, but he doesn't really want to go through with something like that.
Does it bother you? Can you handle it?
No, that's what I was calling it. It always hurts. And I finally went to the gynecologist and found out that I think personally, like no one's told me this, but my cervix, the lady couldn't find my cervix because they're pushed to the side where he's curved.
Uh-oh. He moved it?
Yeah.
She's flopped over.
So.
He moved your parts?
I don't think he moved it. Just,
no.
I think you're flopped.
Coincidence.
Well, that's probably
a coincidence.
It's probably women can flop to one side or the other.
They can?
Yeah. And when you flop over, listen to me. He's probably straightening you out, and that's what hurts. He's doing this with it. It's like a valve. It just keeps flopping back.
Now, can you move other parts like lungs and livers and stuff?
Well, you can, but not with your penis. No.
You got to use like a butcher knife,
a
right?
Knife, yeah.
Okay.
What's that, Sydney?
How is it? Is it that's not a coincidence that the side that he goes to, that's the side where my
I understand that's suspicious, and it is suspicious, but I don't see why that would cause pain. In fact,
it does.
But that's the point.
All right. Quiet
the point is...
Listen, hold on. Listen, all you retards who call the show with a year of junior college on your belt. Stop arguing with the doctor. That's my job. He's a doctor. You're an idiot. You called to ask his advice.
All right, but the point is you're being over to that side should accommodate his penis rather than hurt with it. And you're postulating that he drove it over that. Well, then the pain should have stopped once he got you in position.
All right.
And I think the fact is it kind of straightens you out, and that's uncomfortable. But,
there's nothing anyone can do about
this. He can take vitamin E, 800 units of vitamin E.
Right.
If this is a Peyronie's type syndrome, sometimes that does help straighten things out a little bit. Other than that, though, it's surgery and pain in the partner is one of the more common reasons that guys go have
Let's talk a little more about boxing for a second. Bolo and I were talking about heavyweight, by the way, 9-0, 9 knockouts, fighting this Friday.
Have you ever sparred with that?
Hollywood fight 9-0. I haven't had the pleasure.
You got to do that.
No, he's too big.
He needs a little straightening out.
Like I said, isn't there with Lemon Bruce?
Speaking of straightening out someone's cervix, you need
straighten out my cervix. Do I have a cervix?
What? Well, we'll find out. You do. He'll straighten it out.
My cervix on Bolo's glove. How much is Bolo? Well, Bolo's beating the crap out of me. I'm asking. What do you think of that combo? Just hit me with that. Let me tell you, Bolo and I were. Bolo's too big for me. He's
talking
big
about.
Man.
You told me you're just, you can take on anybody.
I'm just shut up. I never said that. I told you not to say anything in front of Bolo. Bolo and I were talking about the Tyson fight before we got on the air tonight. Tyson was in an excellent fight on a pay-per-view last Friday. And, you know, it is weird. Everybody feels bad for Tyson, which is funny because the guy was considered an animal at a certain stage in and out of the ring, by the way. Yeah. Here's a guy who's done some time for rape and arguably he's probably strangled a woman or two. And when he was sitting there sort of in a heap trying to find his way, every guy who was in the room with me was like, I just want to give him a hug.
Everyone felt... A tiger gets taken out, we're like, oh, that was what a way.
It's really a weird, really a strange human emotion because Tyson was not Rocky Marciano. You know, there's some guys that were beloved champs. Tyson was sort of despised. I mean, everyone respected his ability, no doubt about it, but people were dying for somebody to take Tyson's head off when he was as dominant as he was. And when, you know, Tyson got in the ring with Holyfield, everybody wanted to see Holyfield shut this guy up. And and even with Lennox Lewis to a certain degree, but to see him lying there in a heap, sort of trying to find the rope, clearly out
men,
of it.
Men can't tolerate that. We don't.
We
like
can't
it.
Tolerate.
No,
there's
no,
a bunch
like
of there was 10 guys all almost tearing up.
Yeah.
A lot of them had money on him too. Was the problem? Was
that
the problem?
I was about to bet on him too, but I'm glad I didn't.
What's that, Anderson?
I had Williams in the fourth, and I was still rooting for him. I was.
Oh really?
Yeah, and I had a bunch of money to win.
Wow, did you get in a pool or something?
Yeah, I got a pool where we dragged from the hat, and I got the fourth. Williams,
you won?
Yeah,
you won.
But I was sad. I was rooting for him.
Yeah, he wanted Tyson to win.
Money.
But it's still amazing he won. That's a crazy
I know.
Win.
Williams was a 10-1 underdog.
Yeah, and 9-1.
The thing that's funny, and here's what as I was watching Tyson, and Bolo, here's some advice. You're a young man. What are you, 23, 24?
24.
All right, I'm going to work that out. What's Bolo these days? 24, what's about 6'5", 2'6", how's that knee?
So he's not going to let you get out of here.
Santel coming Friday. I got to sit next to Santel. We wear baseball caps. What's Santel going, about 6'1"? All right, so here's the thing. I was looking at Tyson. I was realizing, bad move when the black dude gets older and starts in with that penciled-in Ike Turner mustache.
It's not Ike Turner. It's Michael Jackson's dad's mustache.
Oh,
That's where our heads go now,
yeah,
right?
Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Ike Turner, Joe Jackson, that little penciled-in. That's what happens to the brothers. I don't know what the white guy, we get toupees, maybe we put a little Just for Men in our beard or something. We screw ourselves
white
up our own way.
White guy's got 40 ways to screw
themselves
up.
Yeah, the blonde guys will dye their hair kind of red when it's turning gray and that kind of thing. But the black man does that weird little penciled-in mustache. Yeah, it's Joe Jackson. It makes you look old and it makes you look creepy at the same time. Makes you look like I'm either going to die or feel up a 9-year-old. I'm not sure what yet, but I got this pencil-thin mustache, so look out. I'm just saying, Bolo, don't ever get that mustache. People think you're old when they see that little pencil.
People already think I'm old.
Well, then start it now.
No, I can't do that.
That's what you should do. This should be your strategy. You come into the ring with that pencil-thin mustache.
Oh, people
like,
freak out.
This guy's in his 50s. I'm going to kick his ass. And then, pow. You're cracking one.
I don't think my girl's going to go for the pencil.
She's not going to go for the pencil stash. All right. That's the one thing. I was looking at Tyson when he was. I was looking at his physique is amazing. He does. He's, he doesn't look that old. Looks, but when you saw that pencil stash on him, you thought, he's going to molest somebody.
It's going to be trouble.
It's going to be trouble. All right. Let's talk to Andrew, who's 17. Andrew?
Yeah, hi.
17?
Yep.
What's up, buddy?
My problem is that I have unusually large nipples.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not funny.
It's good times.
It's not.
Now they stick out?
Yeah, they're kind of like they're kind of like a Hershey's Kiss. If you met, it's like that kind of shape. Like
puffy.
Bad times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that lump.
Yeah, that's
a puberty thing.
That's a puberty thing. But some guys get stuck with that permanently.
Yeah, chicks dig that.
Oh man, do they? Really? And there are many different plastic procedures for that. Most of them, I think, begin with liposuction.
Oh, really?
They kind of suck out the lipo, the fat there. But sometimes that doesn't take care of it because there's glandular tissue. There's that to actually take out the gland material. So it is something that can be repaired. You might want to wait a couple more years before you do because sometimes it will go away by itself.
Yeah,
keep your weight way down. You smoke a lot of pot?
It's not beneath me, but
not very often. All right, not off.
Maybe you should do some push-ups or something, like let the rest of his chest catch up with his nipples.
Well, it's... then you just got that thing on top of the chest muscle.
Yeah, it's like the cherry on top of the sundae.
Like the Hershey's Kiss sitting on the ledge there.
All right.
Well, keep your weight down, keep your diet, you know.
No, but here's
I'm
the thing.
Well, I'm kind of a skinny guy, too, so it's kind of weird, you know.
Which is often the case.
Guy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah. Well, first off, you better hope you never spend the night in prison. Because there's a lot of guys, you know, that'll do.
They're into that?
Good enough.
Ooh.
Good enough. That'd be my attitude if I was in prison. Let's buy me some puffy nipples.
Oh.
I'll grow my little pencil mustache.
Oh, my God.
That'll be it.
Oh, my God. Are you in Boston?
Yeah, I'm in Massachusetts.
All right. There's tons of opportunities to get the repair.
I bet you go to college. Go to one of them colleges, right?
Yeah. There's a great medical school.
Yeah, go to college.
Where are you going to school?
I'm not sure quite yet. I'm looking at, like, I don't know, Vassar.
All right. Now, listen. Here's the thing. Here's the reality.
Williams, are you saying?
What?
That's a chick school,
No, Williams is a good school.
No? All right.
What would he go to college for?
That's what Adam asks all the time.
He's going to go to college to get an education.
And he's
going
to go to a university.
And he's going to go to university to see about getting his nipple reduction.
I thought you were suggesting he go on those Girls Gone Wild videos or something.
You could also make a few bucks, just pull that shirt over your head and then go, I hope my dad doesn't see what I'm doing.
Somebody throws the beads at you?
Yeah. Get some beads, Go down to New Orleans for... get some beads. All right, Andrew.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to get a surgery though.
Well, probably. You might wait a little while, but yeah.
All right, but let's just talk about genetics over here for a second. He's, you know, Bolo's over here. He's 6'5". Andrew's over here. He's got the puffy nipples. You need glasses. I got one of my balls hangs down lower than the other.
And the other one hangs out still very low.
One's 3 feet, the other 4 feet.
Right, exactly.
Here's the thing. That's how God made us, right?
Yeah.
Now
you can monkey around with it these days.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take any multivitamin and do some push-ups
myself.
You need
a scrotal lift.
I need more. I need a forkle lift
to
lift the scrotum up.
Yes.
The point is he wants to fix those puffy nipples. He's probably going to have to go under the knife.
Yeah, probably have to do something kind of drastic. The genetics are such that sometimes it is only during puberty that it becomes noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of settles down after that. But he's 17, wrapping that up.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's gone by 15, 16.
Yeah.
I think you should do push-ups.
I was just thinking. I can't help stop thinking about Michael Jackson's dad, Joe Jackson, and that. Like this guy's got to get... He's got to get like a publicist or something. Like, listen, buddy, you can't pluck your eyebrow so it looks like you're surprised all the time. Lose the penciled mustache and the weird earring. You're 7-year-old dude. People are accusing you of goosing your son when he was 5. How about you put on like a nice Bill Cosby type sweater and grow your hair out a little bit and let the eyebrows run a little wild. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're looking like what people are thinking you are.
I really believe that how people deal with their hair
Yes.
It has an emotional basis to it. Whether you pluck it till it's, you know, you pluck your eyelashes out or make crazy.
Look how sane I am with these huge brows.
I know you got caterpillars sitting there. And you go crazy patterns with your eyebrows, or whether you're doing things with your beard and the mustache, or what you do with your hair.
Yeah.
I think it all has sort
What about Bolas? Got the cornrows.
Yeah, I got it's the
very
braids
stylish.
That's good right. Kiss some ass. All right. Damien Bola Wills is here tonight. It's going to be at the Henry Fonda Theater this Friday. I'll be there, too, getting drunk.
Always in the house.
Always in the house. Wedge between one of the Waynes. Always get a little confused because 14 of them show up at the fight, and they're like, hey, Marley gave a lava and it's the sister. Oh, that was embarrassing. Well, they're all rangy, you know. They're all tall, muscular. They can box. They can tell a joke. Oh yeah. I'm going to be there. Damien's going to be there, knocking a guy out about 10 o'clock.
Their father Drew, does not have a thin mustache.
No, I don't think he does. No. Drew can't be there because wife won't let him out of the house. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Livingston is in here tomorrow night. A very familiar-faced actor. You've known from 100 movies. You know him if you see him.
Yeah.
Except if you're not going to see him. Maybe that's him. Office Space. What other movies have you been in, Anderson? Think of anything?
Office Space.
You he's love a, Office Space.
He's been a ton of them, though.
Yeah. Tonight, Damien Bola Wills is here tonight. Damien is a heavyweight. He is 9-0 with 9 knockouts. Damien is a friend of mine. His trainer is a friend of mine. And I'm putting him on tonight because Damien's fighting on this Friday at the Henry Fonda Theater. And that is in the middle of Hollywood. And I'm going to be there. And it is... it's a good time, and I'm glad it's coming back to the Los Angeles area, and it's nice. It's a scene.
How come it's not at the Olympic?
I don't know why it's not at the Olympic. Actually, it's probably not at the Olympic because the Olympic is probably too big a venue. I mean, no offense, but the Olympic probably holds 10,000 to 12,000 people.
Oh, really? It's that? I never knew
it's
that
pretty,
big.
It's pretty good size.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to look into it. It's better because there's 500 people here, maybe 800 tops, but it's intimate. It's a club.
Got it.
Yeah. It's like the difference between seeing a band at an amphitheater and seeing them at the club.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
We train in Hollywood, so we like to keep everything in Hollywood.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's cool that it's in Hollywood.
Yeah, we keep it. It's right there on Hollywood and Gower, so it's like right in the neighborhood. And here we find a theater. You can get tickets at ticketweb.com or you call 323-845-1425.
And it is, it's a scene. There's celebrities there. There's drunk chicks there. Everyone puts on their best. It's nice for me because it's near my house because, you know, I tilt a few. You know, I get a little drunk. I bet with the guy next to me. It's a good time. And then Bolo closes the show, comes in, knocks this guy out in a couple of seconds, and then we get to go home.
Then we go to the after party.
Then we go to the after party. Yeah. That's it.
When Adam takes on the Captain Morgan.
That's when I start boxing my demons. All right, let's get to the phones and speak to Chris, who's 25. Chris?
Go ahead.
What's happening,
yes,
Chris?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
My girlfriend, we're together, and she wants me to go down on her, give her oral sex, but I have like a kind of a crack in the side of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, is it crack with a sore forming around it, or just the crack?
Well,
he put it there with the playing card.
I see.
She smells. Yeah, he don't want to go down there.
Just a paper cut.
Yeah, smart.
The crack is called chelitis, and that's not necessarily a cold sore.
What is it?
It's actually usually medication or something.
Like
or
something
chapping,
that dries you out.
Chapping, yeah, it's that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeast in the mouth can cause that. But it can sometimes be the beginning of a cold sore, though, if you have to watch out.
Well, I kind of showed my concern about it, and her kind of theory or plan is that if I do it just with the tip of my tongue and not really get on it like I'm, get on an ice cream or something.
Yeah. All right. So are you down with that? You okay with that?
I guess it'll work.
No, that will not work. That will not work.
Well, it'll work.
This is bogus.
I know. It worked for me, though. I mean, if I was on the... You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, it would not work. If you're having viral production, it will get all over your tongue.
Yeah. Yeah. you know.
See how we tell it's a bogus call? It's so easy.
I know. Other
people
full of crap.
Other people can't tell that.
Everybody can tell, Drew. Well, what do we care? We got to kill 2 hours to get the hell out of here.
How do you know it's a bogus call? It's like screams bogus.
I know, but people don't really. No, people I listen to the show are stoned and not really
question.
Listening.
That's fine.
All right. I'm just.
What?
I'm just saying. No. I mean, I. He wasn't faking an injury. Was he?
Mm-mm.
No. Bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Talk to Danielle.
Daniel?
Oh, I mean Daniel. Sorry, buddy.
It's all good.
Yeah, spelled differently. You're 15. What's up?
I wanted to talk to Drew about becoming an addiction medicine specialist.
And you're 15? You're 15?
Yeah. I mean...
You got a couple short-term goals to focus on. Get into medical school.
You got to get into medical school, buddy.
You
got to
go to the best college
high school.
You can. Yeah, get through high school.
Yeah, get through high school.
Get the best college you can. Get the best medical school you can. Then do a residency in either medicine, pediatrics, psychiatry, family practice, or anesthesiology. And then you can do a fellowship in addiction medicine.
What was yours then?
This is at medical school, or is this after?
Yeah, it's about 5 to 6 years after medical school.
After medical school, okay.
Yeah, so you're looking at about 12 years from where you are.
Daniel.
Okay, so where did you do this?
Listen to me.
I went to Amherst College, then University of Southern California, then University of Southern California Hospitals for my residency. And then on my day, I started working in addiction medicine like 15 years ago, and so I got what they call grandfathered in, so I was already practicing it. Didn't have to take a fellowship because the field developed while I was practicing.
How many years are we talking about from the time you graduate high school?
Me?
No, just for Daniel today.
13 to 14 years.
Yeah. And listen, Daniel, if everything goes according to plan, you get straight A's and all goes right, you could be sitting next to a guy with buck teeth and a Brillo head and barely a high school education who makes more money than you
who's verbally abusive
and yells at you to get his coffee.
It's good times.
Well, that's if everything goes according to plan.
Nothing sounds more appealing than that.
All right, buddy boy.
All right,
well, you get them grades up.
Good luck. Get out of high school.
That's right. You got to graduate.
You got to
crack them books. Put down the weed. Pick up the textbook and the Bible.
The main thing is get focused on the medical school.
Hey, I'm Jewish. I can do this.
Then you're in.
Yeah, I'm in.
You're in. Now you better be in. Your parents will kill themselves. Let me tell you something. The Jews, they set the bar too high, the parents. You know what I mean? Like for me, my parents just figured, look.
There was no bar.
There was no bar. The bar was on the corner. Yeah. They figured I'd just be watching a TV set up in the corner. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my parents were, let me tell you something. I'll tell you the reality. I'll tell you what happens. I'm, my trainer, Terry Clavon, he's Bolo's trainer. I keep trying to tell him that my mom was food stamps and welfare.
Yeah.
He just thinks I'm slumming it because I'm a white guy, you know what I mean?
He
don't believe that I was underneath the buildings in downtown L.A. digging with a coffee can, footings with a coffee can.
Right. He just thinks it's some sort of fantasy.
First off, everyone thinks I'm Jewish. And number one, they all think I went to college. And then they just figure my dad was a dentist. I mean, please, tell Bolo what a loser the Corollas are.
Adam is a loser.
He comes from a long line of incredible losers.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
Food stamps. Mom, food stamps.
Welfare and food stamps.
Squatted in his grandmother's house his whole life.
Oh, well, that's my mom's house.
Well, your mom squatted in your grandmother's house.
Yeah, that's loser.
Loser.
Right.
She had trouble parenting, became overwhelmed by the idea of raising the likes of Mr. Corolla, and would lock herself in the room and scream, freak out, and smoke pot. And his dad left the scene when he was 8 and married a ball-busting woman who banished Adam to the garage, which they turned into a room with a cement floor, no running water or a bathroom, and had him crap into a popcorn tin.
Decorative popcorn.
Decorative, mind you, with a lid.
As a way of managing
actually,
that was
his
excrement. Idea.
I understand. You had to get by. It's like a Civil War prison or something.
Kicked me out of the house at 18 and a half. And then he launched
immediately into an illustrious career of carpet cleaning and then figured he needed to move up that ladder, went on to digging ditches with coffee cans.
I'm getting depressed now.
And then knocking out asbestos and drywall. That was when you're really moving along.
He's one of the boxing actor contenders out there.
Oh, and now look at me.
But all that aggression from all that pain's got come out through the boxing.
Literally, and literally a millionaire.
Yeah, literally a millionaire, and taking it out on
I think I've seen him hit Terry a few times.
Terry's not listening. He's not even here.
He's probably on the telephone somewhere.
Oh, for God's sake. That was for him.
He told me to tell you guys, poundforpound.com. You could also get your tickets there.
That's right. Yeah. Go to that fight Friday night.
I expected to move him to tears with that story. What is going on? I'm so mad.
He's always on the phone. He's on the phone.
It's your life story. He just told.
He holds the punch glove with one hand. He talks on the cell. He talks to Denzel Washington on the other with the cell phone. And while I ask him how Bolos weight's doing. Boxing's the only sport. It's almost gay. You never heard guys talk about weight so much. How's his weight doing? How's Bolo's weight? He's 262. Ooh,
how's Bolo's knees?
How's his knee? How's his figure doing? His left handle's doing good? How's that six pack? How's his weight? How's his weight? A lot of guys, you never heard more obsession with weight. Guys, you know what's crazy too, Drew?
Yeah.
They've been doing this thing in boxing now where they weigh the guys in. To weigh them in the day before the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about 24 hours before they get in the ring. And they've been doing the weigh-in time and the actual fight weight now. They finally started weighing them as before they got in the ring. Guys that are making weight at 148 are coming into the ring 163, 165.
Yeah.
Crazy leaps. I know. It's 24 hours. It's not a week. It's not 3 days. It's guys that are trying to make weights at like 154, 148, coming in 163, 165.
That's because those guys are pressured to come in at like 145 or something like that, and they just starve themselves before the fight and don't drink any fluids.
It's all fluid.
Don't
eat. They take a bunch of diuretics, too?
They probably do all that stuff.
I don't know. But I can tell you, I mean, they're doing everything but trying to, you know, take their tattoos off with an eraser.
Right.
I mean, these guys are shaving their eyebrows to try to lose an ounce, and they literally put on like 14 pounds in a course of 24 hours.
That's the only way to do that. That's fluid.
This is not a 210-pound guy.
Yeah.
It's a 150-pound guy putting on, you know, 10% of his body weight.
Yeah. Then after the weigh-in, you go and eat. You know, they finally get to eat after starving themselves for about 3 days, not eating anything for like 3 days, drinking as little water as possible. That's the pressure they put on themselves for fighting at welterweight and middleweight.
That's why Bolo just goes heavyweight.
There's no weight limit there.
You're going to 255. One. I like the guys when he fought last fight was 237. This time he's 309. Wow. But he says he's in great shape. I always love that.
I always have to make weight or I'm going to have to hear Terry. You know,
you would like to be high 240s,
well,
low
250s. Right now, I weigh
245. So. Oh, that's good. That's light for you, right?
Yeah, that's real life.
All right. See, that's his Tinkerbell at 245, Drew. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Bolo in here tonight, future heavyweight champ of the world. And just don't, here's all I want to say, Bolo. You're going to start winning some fights. He's 9-0 now with 9 knockouts. You're going to be 28-0, 29 knockouts. Oh, yes. That's what
that's
I predict.
That's what he's going to come back.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a posse. You're going to get 75-inch rims for your Escalade. You're going to lose everybody. You're going to Terry Claiborne down the road.
No.
Firing everybody. Managers, girlfriends, everybody's gone. Parents not talking to anybody anymore. Out with the old. In with the new. But you remember who put you on this show, right?
Well, see, the good thing about Terry is I've been knowing Terry since I was like 3 years old. So
I know, but he's gone. As soon as you're 10-0, he's gone. You got to get up with a dude like big pinky ring and that pencil mustache. But here's the thing. I don't care about him. You come back on this show. That's the deal. We're laying the groundwork. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
Now, Drew won't be here.
You'll never see him again.
We'll have gotten rid of him by now.
I'll take his place.
That kid who called in is going to take his place.
Dr. Bolo.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Ron Livingston is in here tomorrow night. Damien Bolo Wills in here tonight. Heavyweight prospect, 9-0, 9 knockouts, fighting this Friday. Henry Fonda Theater, Hollywood. I'm going to be there. And there will be 50 celebrities who you recognize before me there too, and I will be the drunkest, and I will be cheering on Bola. And if you want to check it out in real life, and I'll tell you, everybody, by the way, should go to a fight at some point in their life, and not a big Vegas casino fight. I'm talking, you don't want to squeezed in between Sly Stallone and Donald Trump, you know what I mean? Where you're sitting there between the everyman, where I'm wedged in between the Wayans brothers, you know what I mean? Keeping it real.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Club style thing. People, moms getting pissed and jumping in there and whacking them with a slipper. you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Yeah. Ring girls drunk, falling over.
Really getting knocked out.
Really getting knocked down. Novelty knocked out. People yelling. And when a guy swings and miss, people laughing. Ridiculing. Yeah, nothing better than that. And by the way, too, small venues, the fighters looking out into the crowd saying, hey, that's the dude from White Chicks. Waving at him.
That's when they get knocked out, waving at the
fighters. That's during the fight. Saying hi and stuff. It's crazy. It's a good time. Guys going out in the ring wearing a Holiday Inn bathrobe and stuff. The marker, Sharpie, written a name on it, misspelled on the back. Wearing slippers.
Like
keeping
our,
it real.
Our gang.
Yeah, it's good times. Anyway, you want to check this out, you just go to www.ticketweb.com or call 323-845-1425 this Friday. I'll be there. Drew will not. So that's how you know it's good.
Drew, you got to come, man.
His old lady won't let him.
Oh, you got to bring her.
No.
You guys have a great time. Send somebody get knocked out, man.
Yeah, Drew.
Or send somebody get their ass kicked.
Why should Drew pay to watch you knock a guy out when he can just watch himself get his ass kicked by his old lady every night when he comes home? He want to see someone get his ass kicked, he look in the mirror.
Well, you know,
you
that,
see what I'm
that
saying?
Might not happen that night.
No, it'll be fine.
All right, let's go. Let's break it down, Drew. What do you say? Get a hand in. Yeah. Let's help some kids. Let's heal some babies. Right, what do you say? Let's break it down now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Jumping on the phone. Talking to Tiffany, who's 15. Tiffany?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Nothing much. Me and my boyfriend, we've been going out for 7 months now, and I found out through a friend that he's been cheating on me.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, cheating at 15?
Well, she's calling from Oakland, so
anal.
It means anal sex, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's messed up. But anyway, yeah.
No, not yet.
No, what does it mean?
Not saying yet.
No, what does it mean?
He's having sex, right?
Yeah.
At 15?
Well, he's 33.
Oh, how old is he?
He's 19.
Oh, you don't know.
He's going to jail.
Get rid of this guy anyway.
That's too old for you, Tiffany.
No good. Giant difference. When you're 19 and you think about your male peers dating 15-year-olds, you will vomit.
Yeah. You'll hate them.
The guy, the 19-year-old you look at, you'll think this is the weirdest, despicable guy.
Yeah, this is 10th grade in 1 year of high school if he graduated.
Yeah.
Probably didn't graduate.
No good.
And he's cheated on you, Tiffany, so what's up?
With an older woman, probably.
That's right.
Well, hopefully you've not had sex with him, right?
No.
Right.
Still a virgin.
That's good job.
Still a virgin.
Yeah, good job.
All right. Well, keep that virginity.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you save it until you're 75? And then I'm taking it.
Maybe you had a line, you had a book, a schedule of women you were going to line up at 18. Remember?
Oh, that was my plan. Yeah. Well, what a plan that was. Yeah, you're 15. Yeah, I got a whole plan. I should have started signing. My whole plan, Bo, was to start signing up chicks, you know. So I'd take my calendar and go, well, let's see, when's your birthday? When is your birthday, Tiffany?
February
20th. I got an opening in my book. February 20th.
2007.
2007. They'll be a knock on the door 1 minute after midnight. Hello? I'll be wearing Bolo's bathrobe. You'll recognize me. I have the penciled-in mustache. And I'll and you know it takes my robe off. I have a guy like James Brown takes his cape off.
Right.
And I'm wearing nothing but black socks.
I'll take your robe off with you.
You'd be my robe man. Yeah. There you go. And I'm gonna need you as sort of my muscle. You just stand by the door.
Oh yeah.
Arms
folded. I'll be your boyfriend back, you know.
Boyfriends, dads, uncles. Police officers, uncles, anybody who looks like they could pose a threat to me. All right, Tiffany, so you're done with this guy?
Yeah.
All right,
good. Save that virginity.
Yeah.
All right. I know. There's nothing more attractive than a 19-year-old guy cheating when you're 15. Yeah. So tantalizing, so tempting. If I could only make him love me. Oh, I'll win him back. I'll show him I love him.
Well, everyone, I'll be the queen bee if I've got a 19-year-old male attached to me.
Right. Don't do it. Lucy?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I think I have, like, a mental block problem, and I can't, like, self-satisfy myself.
Really? I got a mental problem, but it's the opposite.
You can't stop.
I cannot stop. I did one during the break last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Into the coffee. Drinking coffee. Yeah. Are you drinking
coffee?
Oh, I did that for the guys at Arrow.
I didn't refresh.
I told you that you're drinking out what?
Old coffee.
Old coffee?
I passed on the coffee.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
I hated it.
Okay. Good.
Terry's drinking a coffee.
Oh, no. Oh, Terry. I am sorry, my brother. That will not happen again. All right.
We got to take a break.
We do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lucy.
No, we'll talk to her.
All right. We're going to talk to Lucy.
Question.
She's calling from Wisconsin. She's 16. She cannot pleasure herself.
We'll figure out what that means and what the block's from. It's an interesting topic, really.
Okay.
All right.
Bolo here tonight. Up and coming heavyweight fighting this Friday. I'm going to be there, Henry Fonda Theater. I was just going to keep him for the first hour, but I like Bolo. You know why? Because he laughs at my jokes. He says I'm a good boxer.
And he laughs at your jokes.
And he laughs at my jokes.
There you go.
So I'll tell you what. We'll hang out one more long break with Bolo, and then he's got to get up early and do a little road work. Got a big fight coming up this Friday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. What's the matter, Drew?
I was going to write a note to myself to look back on the web for my ticket, where today, apparently, I think my trial by declaration occurred.
Drew's fighting the man. He got a ticket, and he's fighting it.
Horrible, ridiculous entrapment.
Yeah.
And, it said something about court date August 3rd when I look it up on the web, and I don't know, nobody notified me to be in court. I'm assuming that means my declaration comes up on today, August 3rd. And now I go to look it up, see what the status is, and sorry, temporary website's down. Plan maintenance.
At midnight,
that's the point. It'll be a warrant out for me.
You will become a fugitive at midnight.
Oh, Christ.
I have been arrested on warrants before. I was pulled off of my motorcycle and hauled in and fired from my job.
I got a call.
If the cop likes you, let you ride in the front seat, but he still cuffs you. It's kind of nice having a guy put a seatbelt on you, though. You never think about it. You know, they cuff you and they put you in the seat, and the guy's got to reach around and buckle you up. It's like you're five again.
If they don't like you, they don't buckle you up, though.
No, they put you on the hood. Hey, Bolo is here tonight, promising a young heavyweight. 9 wins, all by knockout. How many losses do you think Bolo has, Drew?
0.
That's a good guess. Fighting
how many fights has he won without a knockout?
0.
Oh.
Same number.
Wow.
0 losses, 0 wins without a knockout. That's 9 good. And 0. And he's going to be 10 and 0 in about 3 days. This Friday's fighting at the Henry Fonda Theater. I'm going to be there. And you can go to www.poundforpoundboxing.com. That's LB4. The letter 4, LBboxing.com.
Right, let's say that because that's confusing. LB for LB. LB, yeah, number like 4, LB, pound for pound.
That's right.
P-O-U-N-D.
Or you could also go to 323-845-1425.
845-1425. How do they get guys to fight a guy that's got 9 knockouts? Who in his
Everybody
right
wants
mind
to beat
would...
me in L.A.
Well, they got to give him a couple of bucks.
And some, again, Captain Morgan again. And
a little shot of Captain Morgan.
Nah, not before the fight.
No, they got to give.
Not for you, for the guys that want to get in the ring with you. They must be.
They got to pay him. They got to pay him.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to show me the money. Then they get in there.
Well, everybody knows I'm a nice guy, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I step in the ring then.
Yeah. Then it all that anger comes
game's
out.
Over.
Then the game's over. Fast hands.
I got to take up boxing.
You got to take up boxing, Drew, because you're angry and you got nothing to take it out on.
You
got to
get in there with Adam.
That's right, Drew.
Oh, the humanity.
Drew, one time, Drew tried whacking the heavy bag. Remember that, Drew?
No, did a series of times, and there was
we did a couple times, but you never stopped complaining about it.
The last time I did it, my neck tweaked so badly, it took 2 years.
Drew was complaining.
2 years?
2 years later, he's still whining about the time I told him to whack the heavy bag.
Yeah, my neck was just not, I pulled a disc or something. It was just bad time.
Never been right. Never
what type
been
of punches
right.
were those? Like backhands or something?
A jab.
Okay.
Drew will stab you with a hypodermic and take you down and then start beating on you. You start getting dizzy, you go down like you're like an animal being tranquilized, and then he comes at you with the scalpel.
That's the doctor.
That's the doctor. All right. Anderson, what are you yelling about?
We can't hear you.
I have no idea what you're saying, Anderson.
I'm just trying, like I do some nights where I have Chris do the levels. It's kind of a pain in the ass. Sorry.
Oh,
he couldn't hear us. Couldn't hear the guest?
Turn the guest up. Turn Bull up. How dare you? Don't kill him, Bob.
It's going to be a fight in there.
That's right. And there's going to be a better one on Friday night. Henry Fonda Theater.
Just so you know, we hear this.
No, no. I know, because I'm trying to do it in between Adam's rants. It's tough.
Well, you ain't going to squeeze in between my syllables, sister.
Might as well just, okay, Adam, hang on a second. Chris, up the guest.
There you go.
And I don't want the guest to know, especially when he's a boxer, that Chris is keeping him way low.
Come on, Chris. We're paying you $10 an hour. Now, come on. All right. What are we going to do? We're going to take some calls?
We got to get back to Lucy, who has trouble masturbating.
Okay. All right. Ooh. Where is she? 16. She's line one, yeah. Right? Lucy?
Hi.
All right, so 16.
Yes.
Trouble masturbating. Yeah? Yeah. Anything weird happen when you were young?
No, not at all. Not at all.
But this is the point, and this is what I want to get into a little bit with her, is that women don't have the same drive to manipulate themselves the way men do. It actually feels kind of weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But how does it feel to you?
Well, okay, the funny thing is, like, a guy can do it to me and I'm fine. But I just can't, like, I can't do it myself. It's just weird for me. It's just like, And I don't know.
Well, let's think. But I'm curious about what's the feeling that it evokes.
Oh, true.
I'm just curious.
She doesn't know. She's 16. Well, she doesn't know anything.
Is it frightening? Is it fearful?
No.
Is it just uncomfortable? Is it hurt?
All right, here we go.
Kind of painful.
Ooh. Painful.
Now, you're talking about insertion, though, right?
Yes.
You don't have to insert. In fact, you probably wouldn't insert to masturbate, right?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing I have problems with doing that. Like everything else is fine.
You can't insert anything.
Yeah.
Well, that would be normal.
Yeah, kind of normal. Are you a virgin?
Yes.
And so that could be uncomfortable even insert something. So the working part's on the outside, right?
Yeah. It's all fine.
All right. Can you have an orgasm?
Yeah.
She doesn't know.
No, don't take that as a no.
Yeah or no?
Yeah, it happened like once.
Okay. Happened once. Yeah. All right.
Again, once Adam discovered that.
Put you on the list.
Yeah, that was it. Not, you talked to him 3 weeks later. It was not like, yeah, once. It was like, yeah, I don't need 7 times.
No, I'll tell you, with me and masturbation, it's like when they interview guys from surf movies. You know, they may go, no hobby is a way of life. First time I went out, I was bitten by the bug, and I've been in the ocean ever since.
First time I
just replace masturbation for surfing, and that's what it's like. It's like, oh, I knew right then I had a relationship with the ocean. It was never going to end, and I'd never. And every day, you know, they talk about like some religion. That's what I got with masturbation. That's what the guys got with surfing. This is why you should never ever let your kid go surfing, because they just turn in one of these burnout heshers. They cut school, goes to the beach. Every time a swell kicks in, they follow it around. They're going to South America. They don't have any money. They're living out of a van. It becomes like heroin.
Yep,
and nobody ever tells them to quit because it's not heroin. They go, oh, look at you. Ooh, you look good with your shirt off. Mm-hmm. What is that, a tan? That's nice. And everyone leaves them alone, and they just end up being losers for the rest. That's what happened with me.
I might stop shaking your hand at them.
Stop. No, you know what?
Pat me on the back.
No,
pat me on the face and head.
Let me tell you something. I'm southpaw. So we're cool with the right hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're cool.
That's where you developed that big knot that was in your left hand, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that. That explains it all now.
I had a huge knot in the palm of my left hand that Drew tried to stab with a syringe and drain once, but nope. To no avail.
That was overtime.
Oh, that was brutal. Oh, I had to have surgery. Big old club hand. Oh, it was horrible. That was tough, too, with that cast, Drew. Speaking of
how
pain.
How did you have that on for?
When I had the surgery? I had it on for a good 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
You remember that?
No,
huge, big club-sized thing I had on my hand?
I don't remember it. You must have taken it off and No.
I did. I started training with my feet when I realized I was going to do the surgery.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Months before, I started working with my
feet. That's why
you're
doing that thing where you were flipping over in your... Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We're done with Lucy, right?
Yeah.
Who are we going to talk to? Let's talk to Laura. Laura?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Nothing. I just wanted to say I love you guys so much. I listen to you every single night.
Thanks.
I was listening to the PSAs. Adam, I think you should do a PSA about running the Red Arrows.
That is a public service announcement for those people who don't know the radio lingo. Yes, and I would like everyone within the sound of my voice to drive through the red arrows when the light is green, because you just sit around and wait to get T-boned by a drunk driver. Meanwhile, there's no traffic coming. Zero. We should all be left alone to do this. This is the greatest and freest country on the planet. Yes?
Except for all the laws that infringe upon us.
That's right.
To protect
That's
the freedoms right. that infringe to protect.
Laura, you got any? Yeah, Drew's mad at the man because he's trying to fight his ticket.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Drew.
Hey, you got a? Laura, did you have a question or is just?
Actually, I'm a student. I go to school in St. Paul, and I live there too. And we don't have a lot of green air or like left green. Or left arrows and stuff.
What school do you go to at St. Paul? St. Thomas?
No, I go to Hamline University.
Hamline University, okay.
You ever heard of that?
Nope.
No.
I don't know what schools are at St. Paul.
All right, go ahead, Lauren.
But we do have a lot of the signs that say no right turn on red.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Adam, what is your opinion in those? Do you run those as well?
Yes. Isn't it illegal? I will not be satisfied until everyone in America is on the lam.
Gets a ticket.
So physically trying to outrun the law.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, too. They don't spin in Minnesota. They'll probably spin you out. It's like NASCAR. In L.A. We got too many lawyers in this city. If you try to outrun the cops, you just get to drive until you run out of gas, and then you get to walk to another car, fire that up, and keep on going. I mean, there are low-speed pursuits that started in, like, January that are still going on. It's past my house every 20 minutes. It's the same guy, same disgruntled employee
who's commandeered
the van. Yeah. Yeah, like, the cops will not. Here's the thing is, once you start fleeing, you got to start ramming as the cop.
That's an amphetamine move.
It is?
Fleeing thing, yeah.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Those guys are all tweaking.
All right. So here's all I want in this country. If it's legal to turn right on a red and it makes sense in L.A., then it should be that way in Minnesota. And whatever rules they got that make sense, we'll do that, too.
This is a confederation of states.
I don't want
this
it that way.
This is not a unified...
Here's what I want. I want one age... I want one level of alcohol consumption, like 0.15.
He wants to be able to get as loaded as possible and drive.
That's
and
right.
He
like
wants
it up
to be able to go to any state and have a sex with a young woman 13. And know it's okay.
I like the 13. You become a woman. Yeah. You become a woman these
you
days.
You want to know that you can go through.
I want to buy fireworks.
Left.
I want to buy fireworks in every city. Cool. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is let's just figure out what we can do and what we can't do and just have it everywhere.
There we go.
That's all I want.
Well, I'll
tell you. Well, when you start traveling, I like to have a nip at the airport. You know what I mean? Calms my nerves before I slide up into first class, you know.
This is your biggest complaint.
I want the bars open all different times at all different airports. LAX, it's like 7 a.m., but JFK out in New York, it's like noon. I'm just saying, we got to pick a time. Because when I need a Bloody Mary at 8 a.m. and I'm in New York, I need a Bloody Mary. I'm just saying, if I got to start carrying a flask, I'll start carrying one, but yeah, I need to know.
Start carrying your own alcohol.
I start carrying like a Boda bag filled with Smirnoff. All right, let's talk to, let's get it going now.
Yeah, come
let's
on.
Let's focus.
Adam.
Let's go. Let's get this show back on the road, all right?
Back
let's
on
go
track,
now.
Anyway.
All right, Bola, let's focus now. Eric?
Yes, sir.
You're 26.
I am.
What's up?
I'm going through a thing with my wife. We're kind of talking about divorce at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an ex-girlfriend that I saw in town here recently, and she's wanting to rekindle what we had.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, we fight mostly about she doesn't think I like her family and vice versa. And I don't know, I'm just kind of wondering if this is, you know, should I go ahead and try to give it one more chance, or should I walk away and kind of with a clean break, or...
Do you have any kids?
No, we don't.
What do you mean, walk away, clean break? And how did the ex-girlfriend get involved with this? What does that have to do with the clean break?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's a wrong term, but it's just, I mean, I just saw my ex-girlfriend.
Hold on
around.
A second. Let me explain something, because there could be, Bolo's younger, and there could be an ethnic barrier. Rekindle is white for booty call. That's what we call it. We don't call it booty call.
Yeah, I didn't know what he was talking about.
We say we want to rekindle the relationship. Oh, okay. That means you come over at 4 a.m. drunk and hit that ass and then stagger back home again. Okay. We'd like to rekindle.
Well, rekindle. I'm
getting a BJ in my car in the Target parking lot at 3 a.m. We're rekindling. Okay.
Well, it's interesting you went down that path because I went back and forth on Eric here. At first, I was thinking to myself, if I were talking to his ex-girlfriend, I'd be going, no, don't go back.
Right.
Then I softened to him.
Ooh.
Then I thought, maybe.
All right, so Eric.
Yes.
You and your wife, by the way, arguing over who likes whose family less or more doesn't seem like a deal breaker in a relationship. So what's up?
Yeah.
I recently got put on Zoloft, and my sex life has kind of died down a bit.
Oh, he's on drugs.
Bogus.
Mm-hmm. Now we don't believe you.
Yeah, now you're
why
going,
don't
now
you
you're
believe
going
it?
Focus.
Why?
Because that has nothing to do with why a relationship would end, especially when you know that that's what's driving your sex life. Then you'd go off, you'd go to your doctor and say,
yeah, and what about all that rekindling you're planning on doing?
With the ex-girlfriend, exactly.
Yeah. All right, now we don't believe you, Eric.
Adam.
I'm going to send Bolo over there. He's going to give you one Bolo punch and send you to an early grave.
Don't listen, Adam.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right, what do you want? Now, you already said enough.
I just want to say that I think you're a comedic genius, and you always bring up your game. I saw you on Stern.
Yeah.
You always bring up your game. I mean, like when you have Tina Fey and Jay Moore, and it's an A++ game you bring.
That's right.
You always bring an A game, but you pick it up a notch whenever.
Right. When you hear me on Stern, it's A++, right?
It's excellent, yes.
Thank you. See, let me explain what young Eric is saying. By the way, what an American. As bogus callers go, I love this bogus call. What he's saying is, just like in the fight game, Bolo, sometimes it takes a great opponent to bring out your best.
I understand.
A lot of guys only fight to the level of their opponent.
I know
just
you're
their level.
With this.
Now, I sit here with Drew night after night and engineer Chris. It's like staring at groupers in an aquarium. What? I'm not going to dance. It's just big eyes swimming by real slow. Everyone's mouth hanging open. I don't have to impress anybody. But when we get another comedian in here, it's time to show them who the true pound-for-pound champ is.
Okay,
and when you go on Stern, it's time to let everyone know what's really going on. You see what I'm saying?
I turned it up.
See, I bring it up.
What he's saying is he's lazy on this show.
I'm lazy, but all greats can take it to another level, which for me is a one above lazy when another comedian comes in. See what I'm saying? Step it up, Drew. I ratchet it up.
Yeah, I know.
Just when you thought I couldn't get any greater, I surprise you.
Yeah, you wake up and bring it on.
That's right. And that's what, now here, unfortunately, that might not happen with Bolo on Friday night. He may just have to dispose of the guy in the first round.
He doesn't have to worry about
that. He doesn't have to worry about that. The reality is...
I'm imagining one of those Popeye punches where the guy flies out and goes into a grave and a flower comes
out. He does that. He lands on my lap. He spills my drink.
Adam likes when I get the blood on the shirt. So
yeah, blood, sweat, snot flying around.
Good times.
Little semen. Oh, that was me. That's me. Them ring girls. When I see them fall down, boy, it gets me going. Heather? Yeah, hold on a second. I got to say, there ain't nothing better than a drunken ring girl. It's just something exciting about a drunk
ring. They don't
drink
no more. We don't let them drink no more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a big mistake. I'm going to have to talk to Terry about that.
Yeah, Terry didn't like that.
ring girl is not quite, it's somewhere between, it's not porn star, but it ain't Victoria's Secret model either. And it's, you want to know which side it's a little closer to? Yeah, it's a little bit. Long nails, got that small the back tat sometimes. Hot, but will bite you. You know what I mean? Like
working for drinks.
Good looking, working for drinks. Looking out. Who's that, the Wayne brothers?
Who's
that guy with the Brillo head? Get out the way. Let me see the Waynes. That's what it is. Look at Denzel wearing his Detroit hat. I'm out there, out of breath. What do you think Bolo's way?
Here you go. Before Bolo leaves, we've got to do a Germany or Florida.
All right. Now, this is... let me explain to Bolo what this game is. This is a game that is sweeping the nation. We have figured out that all bizarre stories either come from... Well, actually, Jimmy Kimmel figured it out at the writer's table many months ago, and I just ripped it off, which is all bizarre stories. All them crazy-ass stories you hear about, they either come from Germany or Florida. So... the people call in, they ask us the question, they tell us the story, and then we decide, is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Dana.
Hi. A woman's been arrested for biting the head off a friend's pet python. The wheelchair-using woman was with a group of friends when the incident happened. The 46-year-old asked if she could hold the python and then told the group she was going to bite its head off. When the snake's owner turned around moments later, she saw the reptile dangling from the woman's hand with its head missing. While she didn't see the incident, her boyfriend, who was watching from nearby, told police he saw the woman bite the snake. She told the officers a dog had bitten the snake.
She lied.
Yeah, she's been charged.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's nice to see the handicap showing that can-do attitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people just stay in a wheelchair. She's in a wheelchair and bit the head of a snake off.
Fascinating.
You know what I mean?
I didn't hear that part.
She's in a wheelchair, right? Yeah, she's handicapped.
What a good
girl.
Listener.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's my job. So here's the thing. My first impulse was Florida. I heard
Florida.
Snake. You're still in Florida?
I'm still in the Florida zone.
Really? You don't want to go to Germany?
I don't think they have snakes in Germany.
They don't allow them?
Well, tell me about the Germany. Well, it could be a little snake. Python, we think of a 9-foot snake.
At least.
Baby python.
Could be baby python. But I hear...
That'd be more Germany.
I hear snake... Oh, I hear Florida. I smell Florida.
So why do you say Germany?
I'm trying to mix it up. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Let's think about it here.
There's nothing to think about. I think it's Florida.
Oh, I thought...
What?
Didn't you start out saying you were going Germany?
No, I'm going Florida. Oh, I'm just trying to bait you with some
Florida
Germany. You're going Florida, too,
yeah,
Bola?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Dana, we're all going Florida.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
They don't have snakes in
we're
Germany.
That's
how you play Germany or Florida, by the way. We're right last night. Yeah, we're really on a roll,
yeah,
Drew.
Quite some time.
Nobody's
here.
Felt better. No one feels better about themselves when it comes to nonsense than you or I, right? we're 8 out of 10 for Germany or Florida. Yeah, shut up, you idiot.
It's almost like
when we
match our bets on somebody having been abused. It's not just nonsense, but the macabre generally.
I know. Do you understand? It's like we're in a lockdown of some prison. Like we're in the tank. We're in the hole somewhere. And we're just trying to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that what the show has become, Drew?
Yeah.
You and I playing a big long rock paper scissor game.
Yeah.
Hey, nice one, Drew. That's good. Germany or Florida? Fantastic. What are you? Come on, you're a doctor. You shouldn't be lowering yourself to this. All right, let's take one more call.
No, no, no. Come on.
No.
We're done.
We're done.
Take for a break.
We're taking a break.
Yeah.
All right, I want to give Bola some nice plugs.
Let me put out this website because I swear this website is a confusing.
How do you
address.
Say it in the least confusing way? This is where you go if you want to come out Friday night. You're in the Los Angeles area and you want to have some fun and you want to have me not talk to you. This is where you go.
You would tell someone to go to poundforpoundboxing.com, but wait, it's not spelled out pound for pound. It's LB number 4. LB.
It's exactly
boxing.
What I said, you
LB
jackass.
For LB boxing.
That's
yeah,
so
you
it's
can
the,
actually spell it out, though.
But it's the point is, though, it's the, the abbreviation for pound followed by the number 4,
right.
Abbreviation for pound, boxing.com.
Yeah.
No spaces. Boxing.
Who by the way.
Terry.
What is that? What is that? No, Terry Clavon, that's he's a genius. No, he's fine. But why the LB?
It's something from old England.
Well, let's just put a P there. It's confusing. You know what I mean? The LB, it's nothing. That doesn't say pound. I mean, it does because you know it, but I just put a P in there. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know who came up with that.
Yeah, go find what the LB is, Drew.
I'll beat him up.
Hurry. Bolo, go after him. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a show where I do Bolo. It's called Bolo Does Adam's Bidding. Hey, Bolo, that guy gave me the stink eye. Which one?
Kick his ass.
Kick his ass. And Bolo's beating the crap out of someone, and I'm going, no, Bolo, that's the wrong guy. No, that's his old lady. It's him. That dude. Give it to him. Anybody. Mailman, the tax man, pool guy's not doing a good job. Kick his ass. What'd you find out, Drew?
Nothing.
All right, well then
he
shut up, would you?
I'm just chiming in.
All right, well, stop grunting. All right, that's what I like. Bolo does my bidding. We go, we walk around. We go out to eat. Service is a little slow. Bolo, go get him.
Kick the waiter's ass.
Kick the waiter's ass. Dry cleaning's not on time, or there's a spot in my shirt. Go get him. Kick
Hurt
his
the
ass.
Lady.
Yeah. Jehovah's Witness comes to the door. Boom.
Beat them all up.
Hit the door. Smash his bike, too. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Bolo, great seeing you. I'll see you maybe tomorrow.
No, Friday. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to come in and watch you.
But for sure, on Friday, because I'll get you pumped up for the fight. I'll put my moves on you.
I got you.
All right. Uh-oh, Drew's got the LB.
Yep.
What do you got?
Half a pound.
Back to the Roman term Libra.
Libra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was...
That meant pound?
Breathing, yeah. I'll look it all. I'll get it all straight now.
All right, but the LB is for Libra.
Yeah, that's what
in the abbreviation for pound. Well,
pound
there you go.
Pound boxing.
All right, that's go to that, and we'll see you on Friday night, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah. Yeah, everybody.
Did you save that up for Bolo's farts? You just let out a huge fart.
That wasn't huge. It was like a 7.
Yeah.
I let a little something go before, right before we went on there. Just a little forget-me-not for Drew. All right, Bolo has left the studio. Always good seeing him. Nice guy, right?
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah. Where do you see him in the ring? Animal, I tell you, Drew. We will hop back to the phones. Drew went on the internet and looked up why the LB symbol is used for pound, as in pound for pound boxing. Yes, Drew?
And it goes back, I said it on the air, it goes back to the Roman term Libra, L-I-B-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
Then apparently this little history site said that it was to distinguish the abbreviation from the pound sterling money, which was a fancy L.
Uh-huh. The British pound.
Yeah, or the French. Well, who else has pounds? British pound.
I have no idea.
Somebody else had pounds. Anyway.
Listen, I barely know what we have.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. Like, once in a while, people be like, that's a lot of Jeffersons. And I'll be like, what is that, the $8? What is that, $2.50? Which one is that? Is there a Jefferson? Does he have a bill? Is that a quarter? What's he on? You know, this is basically, if you want to know how retarded I am, I've handled millions of $5 bills in my life.
Don't know who's on it.
I have no idea.
You do.
I wouldn't know what's, no,
do.
I don't. I
oh,
don't.
Come on. That's impossible.
Is it impossible that I don't know what's on the $5 bill?
Yes.
Really?
Give it a shot.
You want me to really give it a shot?
Just give it a shot. Think about what's on the back. I'll give you a hint.
The back is a pyramid with like an eyeball on it.
That's the $1
bill. That's the $1 bill. The back is a...
What's on the back is a monument to the guy in the front.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
There you go. Now I know.
Now I know. Here we go. This is it. I'm going to go with Walter Payton.
Show you the back.
All right, show me the... It's unfair. Drew, put the money back. Hold on a second. What kind of wallet is that, Drew?
It's my wife gave me.
Please. Is that a Gucci wallet?
It's some fake of something.
That's a Yves Saint Laurent?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, you pussy. Look at that. It looks like an old woman's purse. Chris, you see this wallet? Look at this thing.
It's great. He likes
it. You need something made out of leather with a chain on it.
That's all right.
Really, you might as well carry
Who's
a
on
purse.
The $5 bill?
Okay.
I'll start carrying
all right,
purse.
All right, okay. Lincoln.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You recognize that?
No, Lincoln's Monument? No, I only recognize Lincoln's Monument if you get up close. Yeah.
Because you see him sitting there.
Yeah, I see him sitting there.
But you got this, right?
I got the picture of Lincoln, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
20?
That's a guy. Now, by the way, that's the creepy. We were talking earlier about the creepy black guy look, which is Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's dad, at that penciled in mustache. Yeah. It's just a little faint thing on the upper lip.
Yeah.
Creepy white guy look, beard, no mustache.
Well, that's
a creepy white guy.
That's
look.
Creepy. Religious.
That's religious. Yeah.
Zealot. That's Hezekiah.
It does now. Yeah. Named all his kids after the apostles.
Yeah.
Going to beat you down with the Bible.
It also says farmer.
Yeah. Farmer.
So it says agriculture. Somehow.
Right. He's judging you because you use the Lord's name in vain. Meanwhile, he's married to 9 women. He's cheating on them.
Right.
Right. 44 kids the state takes care of.
Okay. Back at the 20.
That's the White House,
yeah,
right?
Good.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the front.
Back at the 20.
Somebody was in the White House.
Ooh,
the front, but
okay.
But nothing to do with it otherwise.
The 20.
This is not easy.
Oh, 20 is not easy?
Not really.
Andrew.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson. There you go. First name. Because he looks scary. Hair all windblown.
He was a pretty skeletal, weird-looking guy by the time he got the presidency.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to get in fights and got bullets in him and stuff in New Orleans.
I like it. I like the old days when the presidents would. Well, first off, if you wanted to barbecue on the lawn of the White House, you go ahead and do it. Or you want to crap your horse up there.
You just invite everybody.
There's no fence. Yeah. The people hang out on the front lawn. Yeah. Pitch a tent on your front lawn.
Listen, the inaugural party, just come on in.
Come on down. Come on down. Everyone, come on down. Doors open.
Yeah.
Imagine that. And, by the way, even if you were president, if somebody insulted your wife, just take a shot at him. You meet him.
Certainly, up to Truman, you took a swing.
You took a swing, yeah. Yeah. But imagine the White House, like, here's the White House. It's drunk. It's 4 a.m. And you come staggering up to the door and just start banging on. And the porch light flicks on. Guy looking at you through the people. Yes, what do you want? Just kind of slippers and a silk robe, smoking a pipe. The president answers the door. I mean, you could go trick-or-treating and hit the White House.
Most of their day was spent with people looking for jobs. And they would take audience with whoever showed up.
People just walking up the lawn.
They just show up and ask for jobs, basically.
Drew, how close do you think you get to the White House these days before you just got tackled, hammered down?
When I go to D.C., I always run. I go on a run every, you know, I just have this, I love it. It's just beautiful, the mall and stuff. And you running outside the big, giant cement barriers, which are already outside the fence, which are already 300 yards, a quarter mile from the building. They eyeballing you as you run.
What's like, going on that White House? What do you think's really going on?
Well, there's an underground
world. They got a bomb cell.
Underneath
they got
it.
They got a bomb shelter under there?
No.
How big?
There's an underground world under there.
Really?
Oh, apparently.
Mole people?
Military mole people, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Underground world?
Yeah, yeah.
What's on the top?
Old
stuff like that?
Old building where Lincoln used to live.
Think there's stuff on the roof, though?
I'm sure.
Something to shoot a plane down?
I'm sure now there is.
All right, and then what's underneath? How far?
I don't know. I've just heard the talk that there's a whole world over there.
Do you think
the State Department's right across the street.
Do you think the president can get out of the White House without leaving a door?
I bet.
Go underneath?
I bet.
Pop out through some manhole cover in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Look left and right, and back down again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to check that out. I took a tour of the White House, Drew. Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
I was there. Esther?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question about...
We're not talking about done talking about presidential history yet.
Okay.
Are we on the air?
Who cares?
Go ahead,
Let's enlighten everybody.
What's up?
Including me.
What's up?
Hey, Esther.
Uh-huh.
What do you have, a family member named Esther?
No. It's a biblical name. I got it from there.
Oh, it's one of them Jewish things?
Yeah, well, I'm not Jewish. It's just from the Bible, so.
Queen Esther. Queen Esther was a butt kicker. Let's talk about biblical history.
All right, true. Sink into the Talmud next, would you? All right, what's the question? Let's go. Let's talk about vaginas and bent penises. Here we go.
What's up, Esther?
Well, I had a question about the morning after pill. And Dr. Drew, I think you said that that it only inhibits ovulation a couple days ago.
That there were some publications, a review. I brought it with me, and it was actually in a women's health journal for physicians, where they were finally taking the position that the overwhelming evidence suggests that the only real mechanism that this uses is suppression of ovulation. There's speculation that maybe it affects the way sperm gets to the egg, it may affect implantation, but the overwhelming effect is by preventing ovulation, just the way the overwhelming effect of the birth control pill taken before you have intercourse is to prevent ovulation.
So it's not an abortion pill.
My point has always been that any oral contraceptive, any hormonal contraceptive could have a finite effect on implantation. So theoretically, any oral contraceptive could be taken issue if you are strictly anti-abortion. You know, if the implantation issue is so profoundly, you know, set in your mind, then you got to get rid of all hormonal contraceptions, not just the morning after pill. And that's a viable position. I understand people take that position, but to say the morning after pill is the bad pill, that is not a defensible position.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm pro-life, and I am against oral contraception, and
you're against oral contraception?
Yeah, because I do believe.
Hold on a second. Here's let me explain how my
what you just heard.
Here's how I work it. She's 20. She's calling from Sacramento. Starting at 1:40. named Esther. Esther? Who's Esther? She's a figure from the Bible. Oh, okay, now you're up to 155. I'm pro-life. All right, now we're at 163. And I'm against oral contraception. We're now 181.
Okay, well, let me
talk to this. We're heading toward 200.
Listen, I am very
we're heading toward 200 right, pounds.
I'm interested in talking to Esther because she is the first person I've spoken to that is of that persuasion philosophically who's taking a strong position that I think is defensible. So go ahead. What
she's
do you want to say?
She's coming in. Now I have her. Whatever. I have her cruiserweight.
Okay.
We started at welter. We moved through super middleweight and a light heavyweight. We're on boxing tonight.
Fair enough.
And now we're now right at cruising, and she's heading toward heavyweight.
So Esther, what's your position? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, I didn't mean to say oral contraception. I meant to say anything with progestin in it, because isn't that what causes the thinning of the uterine lining?
Well, hold on. I got to shave some pounds.
Because she's
this is now Earth Mama, not Bible Thumper. She's worried about the man poisoning her and vagina falling off and getting dirty. Hold on, let me deduct some weight here, Drew. Gosh. All right, so where were we? It was somewhere between light heavy and cruiser.
Yeah,
we're dipping down now.
Hmm. Could be in a free fall.
Unless
she says Wicca.
We're going junior middleweight now.
All right, let me talk.
Oh, if you go the Wiccan religion, now we're up to super heavyweight.
All right, Esther, listen.
Yeah.
Let's at least say this. You're against hormonal ingestion that could even have a theoretical possibility of impairing implantation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're against IUDs.
Yes.
And you're against any hormones that could have been. And really,
She was against it for now physical problems.
No. She's philosophical.
Andrew.
Esther's philosophical.
What is it?
I've just seen a lot of evidence that life begins at conception.
Yeah, it's a philosophical point.
Now we're well over 200 pounds.
Yeah, it's a philosophical point. And if you really believe that anything that could get in the way of an implantation, anything, mm-hmm. then you have to say the only really means of contraceptive that somebody should use would be a barrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like one of those things out front of the White House?
Yeah, the cement
big
barrier.
Big cement barrier.
What's that, Esther?
I have a question why you think it's philosophical and not scientific.
Well,
because I think in the interest of prudence that it's reasonable to take a finite risk with the implantation issue.
How much
that you're going to end up with so many abortions and so many unwanted pregnancies if you don't, in the interest of prudence, allow people to try to get their ovulation suppressed.
Yes,
I think it's a philosophical point.
Let me explain. And by the way, how much you weigh, Esther?
How much I weigh?
Yeah,
130.
130.
Yeah, there you go.
She's 3'6".
Esther is a smart and interesting caller. Never had one.
I can't stand it. So. Are you attractive? Tell me you have a hook nose and one brow, please.
No.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Let's get rid of her.
No. Esther. So what is it you'd like to say? Since you have a first time I've talked to somebody that wants to take the philosophical position that it's all bad, that's fine with me. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
By the way,
I agree with your philosophical point. I just think in the interest of prudence,
all right, now,
it should allow it.
All right. Esther's point is that...
life begins at conception.
Life begins at conception.
Which is, by the way, a very viable position to take, because even though many organizations don't take that. The reality is that's a point that everybody can agree something new is happening.
Yeah.
Even though it may not survive if it doesn't implant... something is happening that has the potential to be a human life at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'll tell you. But let me explain something that a lot of the religious nut jobs have a little difficulty with, which is they don't see shades of gray. We've had this conversation before, but it's been a while, which is there's nothing more majestic than a 500-year-old sequoia redwood tree, 8 foot wide at the trunk, stretching up toward the heavens. And if that tree gets toppled, it's a tragedy. If some logger comes in and hacks off. But when that thing's a sapling, if some tourist backs over it when it's 6 inches off the ground, would you call it a tragedy? It's just not. It just isn't. Is it going to be a sequoia one day? Probably.
It has potential to
it
be.
It has potentially could be a sequoia. Also has the potential to fall over and crush someone who's camping, which is equivalent to this guy getting high, being a junkie, and stabbing someone in the neck with a ballpoint pen. Let's not forget, all humans don't turn out to be such great contributors to the planet. I don't know what the numbers are, but look around. Turn on the news these days. Let's look at it worldwide. A lot of people out there just effing, getting drunk, and not paying taxes and spreading a little AIDS around. But my point is so not all of us are going to be intellectual giants or captains of industry or work with the retarded. Some of us going to be killers. Some of us going to be junkies. Some of us going to be pedophiles. You know what I mean? So we don't need to save everybody. That's all I'm saying. But here's the shade of gray that the Bible thumpers don't see. If you you're spontaneous abortion first trimester, sad. A sad situation for a couple if they're trying to have a kid. A kid comes out stillborn. That's
worse.
Kid gets cleaned out on his tricycle, chasing, riding after the ball at age three.
Horrible.
Find him floating in the pool age seven.
Intolerable.
And killed by a drunk driver on prom night.
Well, that could be a good thing.
Devastated. No, prom night's fine. Yeah, after your daughter got laid.
Oh, that's the worst.
On the way home.
That's the worst.
Yeah, we did an autopsy. We found semen all over. Covered with semen. Right, actually, some of that protected her from the fire.
Stop.
All right. The point is horrible. The prom night scenario, I don't know, 100 times worse than the first trimester. You know, oops, there's
blastosphere, the last morula that doesn't implant.
The thing that doesn't implant. Yeah. That you don't even know about.
It's just a couple of cells.
Shade of gray. Yeah. Shades of gray. One's black, well, one's white, and then there's everything in between.
Especially when potentially sacrificing a couple of the groups of cells to save maybe millions of abortions.
Right.
That makes sense to me.
But we're not going to get rid of Esther so fast.
No,
Esther?
No, I like Esther.
Hey.
All right, now hold on.
We like you.
Now,
I like you.
You heard my diatribe and you're moved. Yes?
Wait, I'm sorry?
Okay, hold on.
No, wait.
We got to take a break.
All right.
Are you a doctor or like a Scooby-Doo? All right, let's focus, Drew.
Super chicken.
We'll take a quick break. I'll give one last plug out for my main man, Terry Claibon, over here before we go to break. But then that's it, Terry, so you can turn the radio show off. Because you're going to hear no more plugs after this. You go to www.poundforpound.boxing. www.poundforpoundboxing.com. You get those tickets for this Friday night, and I'll see you at the Henry Fonda Theater. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll get back and argue with Esther after this.
Nice.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Ron Livingston is going to be in here. Fine actor, Ron Livingston, tomorrow night. All right, no, we left off. Did we really got to talk to Esther?
Yeah.
All right, let's hurry.
So Esther.
Hi.
What is your final statement?
Final statement? I'm just saying that if we don't know when life begins, I think we should give the benefit of the doubt to life.
Let's say it is at the point of conception.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it is. Is it worth risking the possibility of a few of those balls of cells to save millions of abortions?
But if it begins conception, then hopefully abortion would be illegal altogether because.
But let's just say it does,
mm-hmm.
and let's say that using hormones might sacrifice a couple of those balls of cells, and it might prevent a million later term abortions.
But do we even need to do the?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Stay with me, Esther.
No, and no difference between the 200-foot tall sequoia and the mini little 2-inch sapling sticking out of the earth. Do you? No difference between those two things?
Well, there's a difference in that just one's bigger in size.
All right, so no difference.
Yeah, so it's all right. This is a philosophical position,
yeah.
And you want to defend
it's science.
It's
called retarded.
It's actually the only fully defensible philosophical position you can take. The rest of them are all BS.
Well,
this one is good philosophical.
No, here it is. It's like taking a some iron ore and me yelling that could have been a Ferrari. It's like, no, it's just the R.
No, it's a little different. It's things that are definitely going to have the potential to definitely be.
Well, the potential. Well, the iron ore has potential to be a Ferrari. It's not definitely going to be, but the kid could be born with no heartbeat or 5 years, or like one of our callers with a penis that reaches around and pokes him in the ass.
His Sammy's 15.
Sammy?
Yes?
What's happening?
Nothing.
What's the question, baby doll?
All right. This happened about 2 weeks before I got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was in a whole bunch of...
That would have been let's say she got out of school.
2 weeks.
2 weeks before she got out of school.
What day is
she got out on July 28th, so it'd have been about July 15th or something.
Two Fridays ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sammy.
All right, well, I was hanging out with these guys, and I think there were four of them. Mm-hmm. And me and my friend, I was at her house and we called him up and we went over there.
Today, Junior?
Come on, baby.
All right. And then I decided to drink.
Mm-hmm. And then, you decided to drink, or they busted out some wine coolers?
Well, no, I was drinking some Coors Light.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like my favorite beer. Anyways.
What is your question?
All right. Well, we all...
All right.
Okay, just do it!
Hold on a second. You got to turn your radio down, by the way, because...
I don't think her radio's on.
Oh, no. I
think that's just her.
No, you got to turn the radio down, turn your brain up. I could hear it in the background. Listen, Sam, you had sex with two of the guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're 15.
Yeah, and then the next night, I went out with my sister, and I did it again.
With two different guys?
Everybody's just like, disappointed in me. And
if we had less than more than 5 seconds, which is all we have, I'd bet on this one.
Right.
Do some gambling.
All right, Sammy.
Yeah.
Slow it down, Sammy.
You will regret this. Please slow it down.
You got
to
get some.
As a matter of fact, slow it down to a stop.
Get a pelvic exam. Make sure you haven't
affected
yourself with anything. Make sure you're not pregnant.
All right. Just don't end up being like one of our screwball callers, would you? I mean, you already are, but don't be at a 25. Just stop, please. Get your attention somewhere else. Find Jesus Christ. Try out for the girls' golf team. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Bolo for coming in here again, pound for pound. www.poundforpoundboxing.com. Get those tickets. I'll see you Friday night, Henry Fonda Theater. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo. Looking out. Who's that? The Wayne brothers?
Who's that
guy with the Brillo head? Get out the way. Let me see the Waynes.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.